Hermione looked doubtfully at the plate he was offering her. Fred grinned. "It's all right," he said. "I haven't done anything to them. It's the custard creams you've got to watch." Neville, who had just bitten into a custard cream, choked and spat it out. Fred laughed. "Just my little joke, Neville." Hermione took a jam tart. Then she said, "Did you get all this from the kitchens, Fred?"
"Yep,"
said Fred, grinning at her. He put on a high-pitched squeak and imitated a house elf.
"Anything we can get you, sir. Anything at all. They're dead helpful. Get me a roast ox if I said I was peckish."
"How do you get in there?" Hermione said in an innocently casual sort of voice.
"Easy," said Fred.
"Concealed door behind a painting of a bowl of fruit. Just tickle the pear and it giggles and..." He stopped and looked suspiciously at her.
"Why?"
"Nothing," said Hermione quickly. "Going to try and lead the house elves out on strike now, are you?" said George. "Going to give up all the leaflet stuff and try and stir them up into rebellion?" Several people chortled. Hermione didn't answer.
"Don't you go upsetting them and telling them they've got to take clothes and salaries," said Fred warningly. "You'll put them off their cooking."
Just then, Neville caused a slight diversion by turning into a large canary.
"Oh, sorry, Neville," Fred shouted over all the laughter. "I forgot, it was the custard creams we hexed."
Within a minute, however, Neville had molted, and once his feathers had fallen off, he reappeared, looking entirely normal. He even joined in laughing.
"Canary creams!" Fred shouted to the excitable crowd. "George and I invented them. 7 sickles each. A bargain!"
It was nearly 1 in the morning when Harry finally went up to the dormitory with Ron, Neville, Seamus and Dean. Before he pulled the curtains of his 4-poster shut, Harry set his tiny model of the Hungarian horntail on the table next to his bed, where it yawned, curled up, and closed its eyes. "Really?" Harry thought, as he pulled the hangings on his 4-poster closed. Hagrid had a point. They were all right, really. Dragons. The start of December brought wind and sleet to Hogwarts. Drafty though the castle always was in winter, Harry was glad of its fires and thick walls every time he passed the Durmstrang ship on the lake, which was pitching in the high winds, its black sails billowing against the dark skies. He thought the Beaubaton's caravan was likely to be pretty chilly too. Hagrid, he noticed, was keeping Madame Maxime's horses well provided with their preferred drink of single malt whisky. The fumes wafting from the trough in the corner of their paddock was enough to make the entire Care of Magical Creatures class light-headed. This was unhelpful, as they were still tending the horrible scroots and needed their wits about them.
"I'm not sure whether they hibernate or not,"
Hagrid told the shivering class in the windy pumpkin patch next lesson.
"Thought we'd just try and see if they fancied a kip. We'll just settle them down in these boxes."
There were now only 10 scroots left. Apparently their desire to kill one another had not been exercised out of them. Each of them was now approaching 6 feet in length. Their thick grey armour, their powerful scuttling legs, their fire-blasting ends, their stings and their suckers combined to make the scroots the most repulsive things Harry had ever seen. The class looked dispiritedly at the enormous boxes Hagrid had brought out, all lined with pillows and fluffy blankets.
"We'll just lead 'em in here," Hagrid said, "and put the lids on, and we'll see what happens."
But the scroots, it transpired, did not hibernate, and did not appreciate being forced into pillow-lined boxes and nailed in. Hagrid was soon yelling,
"Don't panic! Now don't panic!"
while the scroots rampaged around the pumpkin patch, now strewn with the smouldering wreckage of the boxes. Most of the class, Malfoy, Crabbe and Goyle in the lead, had fled into Hagrid's cabin through the back door and barricaded themselves in. Harry, Ron and Hermione, however, were among those who remained outside, trying to help Hagrid. Together they managed to restrain and tie up 9 of the scroots, though at the cost of numerous burns and cuts. Finally, only 1 scroot was left.
"Don't frighten him now,"
Hagrid shouted, as Ron and Harry used their wands to shoot jets of fiery sparks at the scroot, which was advancing menacingly on them, its sting arched, quivering over its back.
Just try and slip the rope round his sting, so he won't hurt any of the others.
Yeah, we wouldn't want that, Ron shouted angrily as he and Harry backed into the wall of Hagrid's cabin, still holding the scroot off with their sparks.